I don't know about you, but when singing Days of Elijah, just, I don't know, it just gets something going inside of you. I'm all excited. I want us to continue on this morning in our series of looking at how do we glorify God in the framework of the family. And today I want to do something a little bit different, and I want to talk to the kids. So apparently the Rose heard that I was talking about kids today and they left. I was hoping that I have a whole kid section here, but that's okay. So I may have to go back a little bit into the audience here to get some kids. And I want the kids to participate a little bit today as we talk about some things. But I'm talking about kids. So if you are a child of a parent, I'm talking to you today. And I want you to think about what it means to glorify God. Now, we've talked about that already. We've talked about how wives, or how mothers glorify God, how husbands and wives glorify God. And just to sort of refresh our memory, when we talk about glorifying God, it's not that we're trying to make God any more glorious, because we can't do that. God is already so glorious, he's beyond limits. And so when we think about glorifying God, what that means is that we see God as glorious. We enjoy Him as glorious, and we celebrate Him as glorious. Now, when we think about that, and we try to start putting that into kids' terms, what does it mean to glorify God? The best way that I can think about it is to glorify God is that you love Him so much that you want to bring a big smile to God's face. That's what I think it means. That we just the things that we do, we hope that God is looking down upon us and there is just this grand smile on the face of our Creator because of what we have done. Now, as we think about it from the standpoint of kids, how do we do that as a child? Well, what I would say is you do that by raising good parents. And you say, well, wait a minute. I thought it was the parents who do the raising. No, it's actually the other way around. The kids do the raising of the parents. So for example, see, we've got this nice family here. I mean, the kids are doing a great job. They are, the parents, they just look with it and everything. Or you can have these parents. So, kids, here it is. Raising good parents, raising not so good parents. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you kids two things that you can do to raise good parents. Okay? So let's talk about that. So, first thing is what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, obey your parents. Now, when you think about that, what does it mean to obey your parents? Okay, so this is where I want some kids' participation here. Kids, can you tell me what does it mean? Just what do you think does it mean to obey your parents? Somebody, you raise your hands. Oh, I got some up here. Yes. Okay, to obey God. Wow, you read my notes. Okay, to listen to what? Wait, you read my notes. Would you believe that? That the very origin of obey, the root word, is to listen? So the idea of obeying our parents is connected with that idea of listening. And that we are seeking to listen attentively and then to heed or to conform to the command or the authority that has been given. Now, those are a bunch of big words. So what does that mean? Well, it means listen to what parents say and then do what they direct or ask you to do. Now, we think about, well, what are the reasons why I need to obey? Well, parents are our teachers. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, and all of our verses this morning are going to come from the Children's International Bible. But it says, train a child how to live the right way. Then even when he is old, he will still live that way. But it says train. So teachers are trainers. They are teaching, our parents are trainers. They're teaching us the right way. Because think about it. We don't come into this world with a whole lot of instincts within us. We don't know all the things that we are supposed to do. You know, what is it? Sea turtles, the parents just leave them and the sea turtles can find their way back to the ocean and just go about their business. We can't do that. So parents teach us. We learn about the world through what we do and how we do it and what we say. And God has given us parents so that we can understand the world, that we learn about the world from our parents. For example, I would venture to say that most everyone here in this audience has found out that it is dangerous to touch an electrical socket, not by touching it, but by having your parents tell you, don't do that. Probably very few of us have actually gone ahead and touched it and found out that hurts. We learn that, oh, I shouldn't do that, from our parents. And so, kids, help me out again. What are some things that your parents tell you to do? And it could be anything. I mean, I'll just start us off here. Parents tell us, eat your vegetables. All right, what are some other things, kids, that your parents tell you to do?
To obey the word of God.
Obey the word of God. You're like getting gold stars here. Okay, yeah, get on with electronics. You got to do it. Finn, you got one? What do your parents tell you to do? Eat. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Praise God. That is a fantastic one. Do I have some others here? Yes, in the back. Go ahead, tell me.
Singing.
Singing. Your parents tell you to sing. That's great. That's awesome. We got some back here. Tell me some others. Brushing your teeth. Yes, you got to brush your teeth. Yes. I got a whole bunch of them today. Yes. What do your parents tell you to do? Yeah, go to bed and not get up. Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Now, why is it that we have all of these things? And kids, don't worry. I'm going to come back to you guys, okay, for other things. So don't worry about it. Eat your vegetables. Go to bed and don't get up. What are all of those things about? They're about telling us the things of the world. Kids, what would happen if you stayed up 24/7 for 5 days in a row? Would you be able to handle life? No, none of us would. Parents tell us, clean your room. Why in the world do they tell us to clean our room? They don't want it messy. Yes, that's exactly right. It's responsibility that they're teaching us. And parents are teaching us these things because we learn about the world through what our parents teach us. And God is telling us to obey our parents. To obey them even when we don't want to. One person said, my parents taught me to obey immediately, completely, and willingly. Now, that's a hard one. Because immediately, what do we like to do? Oh, mom and dad asked me this. I'll get to it later. Completely, well, we like to do things halfway. Or just enough to get by. You know, if I can clean my room just enough, I'll sweep everything up underneath my bed. Whew, and then it'll be good. And willingly, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But is that not just that I have to obey, but that I'm willing, I want to obey. But think about this. We are to benefit from our parents' experience. What I mean by this is parents are not trying to ruin our lives. Okay, so teenagers, listen up here. All right, we often struggle to obey our parents. Hey, that's just a given. We're trying to figure out this new world in which we live, and we want independence. But we don't oftentimes think that our parents know better than us. We think we know better. Mark Twain said it this way. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Now, what is he saying there? Did his father just take courses online and he just became this genius in 7 years? No. It's that Mark Twain figured out in those 7 years, wow, my parents actually didn't know something. They have experienced the world, and I can learn from their experience. Because many times we often think, well, my parents, they just don't understand me. They don't know what I'm going through. But kids, I'm here to tell you, your parents are just kids with experience. That's all they are. Which means they have been in your shoes. They have been where you are. They are trying to help so that you won't do the same things or the same mistakes that they did when they were in your shoes. So benefit from their experience. Why should we do that? Because God says this is right. This isn't our parents saying, this is right, you're going to do it because I say so. We'll talk about authority in a minute. But God is saying this. God is saying that it is right for us to obey our parents. Why is that? Because God made us this way. God designed parents to take care of children. Think about it. He didn't make it the other way around. He said, those who have experience, those who have gone through things, are going to care and protect those who are innocent and can't do for themselves. Kids were made to love and follow their parents. Parents were made to love and teach their children. God designed the family to be the very center of society. As one person put it, the family is the organic cell from which all human societies are constructed. It starts with the family, and then it goes outward from there. Because think, in the family is where we learn all sorts of things. It's where we learn right from wrong. It's where we learn to tie our shoes. All of those things we learn in the family. And the idea that I think God is putting forth is, when the family is doing what it's supposed to do, society flourishes. But when the family breaks down, it's not too far behind where society is going to break down. God, we know God through our parents. We know God and His character through our moms and dads. We know strength. We know security. We know safety through what our fathers give to us, that protection. But we know mercy, we know compassion, we know tenderness through our moms. But all of these are qualities of God. We know the love of God through both our moms and our dads. And so we come to understand God when we obey our parents. And we understand what it means to obey God by obeying our parents. For example, we understand that God has put parents in a place of authority over us. All right, kids, let me say that again. God has put your parents in a place of authority over you. That's just the way it is. And we learn to accept authority through obeying our parents. Accepting authority is just sort of a matter of fact of life. Because you're going to have authority that you need to be willing to learn and accept and be under throughout. Whether it's in the home or at school or on the job or in society, there is authority that we have to submit to. And if we don't learn it in the home, if we don't learn to do what our parents tell us, then when we get out into school and when we get out into the workforce and when we get out into society, we're going to have a miserable life because we're not accepting any authority but our own.
And that's, again, that's not what God intended. Amen. And we understand by obeying our parents, we come to understand their experience. Just like Mark Twain, he realized, wow, my dad does know some things. Kids, if you hadn't gotten there yet, you will. You'll get to that point where you'll have the aha moment. Oh, man, mom and dad were right. Maybe we don't want to admit it, but we understand the experience that they have, and we understand that they want what is best for us. It's not just rules for rules' sake. And all of these things help us then to understand our relationship with God. Because God has all authority. He is a supreme being. He is a supreme leader. And we are to follow Him. And our attitude of how we obey our parents is directly related to our attitude of how we obey God and submit to His authority. He knows everything, which means He knows the very best way to do anything and everything. There's nothing that we can say, hey, God, have you thought about doing it this way? I think this would be better. No, God knows everything. And what we should see from that is that He wants what is best for us. Every command, everything that He has done, He says, this is for your benefit. It's not that He's saying, oh, hey, I just want to see what you do if I threw that rule in there. No. God wants what is best for us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. This pleases the Lord. This brings a smile to God's face when we do these things. All right, so that's the first thing you can do to raise good parents. The second thing that you can do then is to honor your father and mother. And that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor means to respect your parents all the days of your life. To honor means to prize, to value someone or something. So to respect someone is to value them, to treasure them, to hold them up in our actions and in our words, to say, you are of value to me. Now, let's sort of think about what does that look like? So, kids, I have got my toy here, okay? My airplane. Now, kids, tell me, how can I honor my airplane? Or let me ask it this way. Is this honoring my airplane? Let me get up here so everybody can see it. If I take my airplane and I throw it to the ground and then I stomp on it and then I rip it up and I tear up my wings of my airplane, is that honoring my airplane? No, it's not, is it? I've just destroyed my airplane. So that's not honoring. That's not holding it up and saying, wow, this is special. You do have an airplane. How about that? We've got something in common. So kids, here, I want you to help me out here, okay? What are some things that we do that could devalue our parents? Okay, help me out. What are some things that we might do that shows our parents we don't respect them? What's that? Talking back. Why do we do that, kids? Why do we say, our parents tell us something and we say, and it's just like stuff just falls out of our mouth. And then it's like, uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that. What are some other things that we do? Yes. Yeah, we do disrespect. So how are some ways that we can disrespect? Okay, lie to your parents. What else? Disobey them. Oh, yeah, when we get physical with our parents, that's never good. Woo! Okay, teenagers here. I know you probably have never done this one, okay? But maybe this one. Never done that, right? Never rolled your eyes. Or here's a good one, too. Your parents have told you something, and then you turn away, you walk away from them, and then you start mumbling under your breath, "Well, I'll do it when I want to." What have we done? Oh, I got one more up here. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Don't hit them back. That's not a good one when you try that. But kids, do you see that? When we do those types of things, when we stick our tongue out at our parents, hopefully none of you have ever done that. But those are things, that's just like that airplane, that we're stomping on our parents. We're not holding them up and saying, "I value you." We're saying, "I don't value you." When we do those types of things, we don't respect them. And what God has told us is that we are to respect our parents. Now, think about this. The wisest man that has ever lived said this: don't make fun of your father. Don't refuse to obey your mother. If you do, your eye will be pecked out by the birds of the valley. You will be eaten by hawks. Woo! Now, I don't think he really means that. I don't think if you walk away from your parents or if you, roll your eyes at your parents today, that hawks are going to come down and eat you. That's not what it's saying. But what it's saying is, it's not going to go too well for us if we do those things, right? If we don't love our parents, if we don't show respect to our parents, it's not going to go well for us. Trust me. I think I've still got a couple of reminders when I did that. Okay? So, understand that respect and obedience go together. That it's not just that you obey for the sake of obeying. That you just do it because that you have to. But if I respect my parents, it means that I'm going to do something in an attitude of heart that says, "I will obey you even when I disagree because I value who you are." Now that's a hard one. Because we think we know everything. But again, remember, they got more experience. And what God is telling us is that when I respect them with my heart, that brings a smile to God's face. Now, what's the problem today? Our culture lacks respect for others. We don't have to go too far. I mean, you just go out to eat. And the people that are serving you, they don't want to serve you. Except for Chick-fil-A, Skyler. Except for Chick-fil-A. I got you there. You're talking about traffic. And by no means am I trying to be political in this, but I think we can even see a shift in how we view our president, no matter who is in the office. There is a sense where we used to respect the office of our commander-in-chief, but now we don't even do that. You go to the schools, and children are saying things to their teachers that, I mean, it blows my mind. Carla comes home and she tells me things that she's seen in the schools. And I'm like, "What? How do the kids say that?" And kids, that's not your fault. It's the fault of the parents of the previous generations and the parents of this generation. But what I want you to understand, kids, is that you can change that. You don't have to live in that kind of culture and be that kind of disrespectful person. Because here's what God calls us to. He says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and give more honor, give more respect to others than to yourselves. Now, it's been said, as we sort of mentioned earlier, when the bonds of family life break up, When respect for parents fails, the community becomes decadent and will not live long. Don't worry, I had to look up decadent. That means to be in a state of moral or cultural decline. It's saying when the family goes, everything else goes. And so for us today, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, let's rally around our family. Let's teach our kids respect and what that means and how to do that. Because consider this. Consider how God views disrespect. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Now, this is talking about Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha. And it says, from there Elisha went up to Bethel. On the way, some young men came out of the city. They made fun of Elisha. They said to him, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" Elisha turned around and looked at them. He put a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods. They tore to pieces 42 of the young men. Ooh. Now, some of your translations may say the young lads or the youth. Now, let's put all of this into context here, okay? It wasn't children who were saying this. These were young men, but they knew right from wrong. And there was a big group of them. It wasn't just a few of them, because it even says that 42 of them, the bears went after 42 of them. So it was a big group of these young men who knew right from wrong, and they are mocking and making fun of the God's prophet. That's Elisha. Some of the scholars have said the idea of go up is maybe reference to Elijah and how Elijah was taken up. And they knew that. And what they're saying is, Elisha, we don't want you. Go up, you bald head. Leave us alone. Now notice, all that Elisha did was he just said, I put a curse on you. I curse you in the name of the Lord. That's all he did. God did the rest. So what does that mean? That shows us how God views disrespect. Because when they were disrespecting Elisha, who was a prophet of God, they were in basically the same way, they were disrespecting God. God says, you will not do that. Now, we can't end on that note. So let's think about another aspect of respect. Think about David. We're not going to read this, but in 2 Samuel 16, we have where David was anointed king. And from what a lot of scholars have, what I read was, they think that he was probably about 15 years old when he was anointed king. And it goes on to say after that, then, that King Saul is still reigning. And an evil spirit is within him. And what we see is his helpers say, okay, well, let's find somebody to play some music for you. And that'll soothe you. So they do, and they find David. Everybody says, David is, man, he is this great musician. Now, what it says, I think it's about in verse 19, is that they call for David. And when they call for David, he is tending his father's flocks. He's tending his dad's sheep. Now think about this. He's 15 years old. He's been anointed king. If you're 15 years old and you've been anointed king of the whole nation, you can say to dad, hey dad, you got to do what I tell you to do. But that's not what David does. David respects his father. Even though he's anointed king, and he's still protecting and keeping his father's sheep. Why? Because he's respecting his father. Because in respecting his father, he respects God. And that's the whole point. You see, if we can't honor our parents, whom we can see, how in the world are we going to honor God whom we can't see? There is a direct correlation, kids, to doing what our parents say and bringing that smile on God's face. And what it says to us is that there is a reward. There's a promise that comes with this that says you will do well and live long in the land. Now, I don't think he's saying that each person that does that is going to live to be Methuselah's age. I think what he's saying is, in general, if kids obey their parents, society as a whole is going to go well. Things are going to go well. Things are going to go well for you if you obey your parents. Think about it. If you disobey your parents, kids, what usually happens? Well, you're either sitting on your bed, you got time out, or heaven forbid, the belt or something else comes out. That's not a good day. But when you say, yes, Mom, I'll go do this, and not mumble under your breath, it can be a good day. And that's what God's telling us. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard sometimes to obey our parents. We think we know it all. But God says, they know more than you. So to bring a smile to my face, God says, obey your parents and honor them. This morning, are you honoring God? The greatest way that you can honor Him, to bring a smile to His face, is to come to Him as your Father, your Heavenly Father, and obey Him, submit your life to Him. One of our shepherds is going to come down and be here. If you need to just pray, if you need something in any way, if you want to become a child of God, our shepherds are here to help you in any way. Think about these things this morning as together we stand and sing.